You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio, and I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Vicki Voisard, and we thank you for joining us. On today's show, I'm going to be talking with my guest, Greg Luebe. Now, who the heck is Greg Luebe? You out there may not recognize Greg, but he and his wife, Shelly, have a large fan club of four-legged creatures who think Greg and Shelly are top dogs. Before I get into Greg's story, I'll introduce him and let him tell us about the Luebe compound. So welcome, Greg.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. You know, what do you guys call your place outside of Reno? Is it a farm or a ranch or a compound?
Oh, I think we call it a ranch. We've got, It's about 90 miles southeast of Reno in a little town called Yerington, Nevada. On the Walker River, the east fork of the Walker River. And we have about a mile of riverbank on our property, and we have cattle and deer and mountain lions and skunks and porcupines, and our domestic animals are our llamas and goats and sheep and chickens and our dogs.
How many dogs do you have?
Well, we don't have two dogs now. We had we were up to four at one time, but you know, we have our boy Jaeger. We just lost him about 3 weeks ago. I guess it's been about a month now. He was with us for 14 years.
Yeah, I was going to talk about him in a minute. But so you have chickens? You have any cats?
We have no cats that are ours. There's some feral cats around. It's always amazing to me out in the wilderness, kind of how we live, that they're out there and they survive somehow.
And how about chickens? Do you guys have chickens?
Well, we do have chickens. Our chickens have had a tough time this winter. We also have California Golden Eagles who live on our property. And so since November, we've lost 11 chickens to these guys and the coyotes. We have coyotes, too, unfortunately. So, you know, it's just a part of the wild.
Natural living.
that's a fact, yeah.
So, how about chicken out there. How about your goats? Does that attract the mountain lions?
You know, it does. Our goats are in a pen, and we have this this stuff called hog wire. And the of course, a mountain lion can jump over the 6-foot fence, but they haven't done that yet. But as far as a coyote or whatnot just coming through the fence, it's kind of impossible. But on our acreage, we do lease to other farmers who have large herds of sheep and goats and cows, and they've lost quite a few to the wildlife.
Right. Well, that's the natural eating that you get to see firsthand, and most everybody else gets to just see it on National Geographic.
That's right.
You guys are right in there. So
I always joke that the mountain, when the goats disappear, sometimes I think, well, that mountain lion must have read Mickey's book.
Yeah, we have the same problem here in Arizona in Tubac. We have a resident mountain lion that actually cruises through our neighborhood. Probably we see him about every 2 months or so. And I swear he's the same guy because I see him on the road and he waddles the same way. He's pretty big. He takes down a lot of domesticated pets, though. And it's usually people that just moved here and they don't realize how natural we are. And that's their main source of food is other pets and goats and chickens and everything else. So, yeah, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about how animals take each other down, and that's just part of the cycle.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
So what? Domestic animals.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of rough on them. Now, what might you be feeding these guys? Are you feeding, we can go into this a little more extensive later, but what are you feeding them? Are you feeding them all kind of commercial food, or what's your choice of food?
We used to feed them, of course, commercial food until we actually became associated with you secondhand through our friend Cam and Ken and Linda. We would go to Costco, and now they get beef, lots of beef and chicken, and I'm out of town right now from my home. I'm down at the Bay Area working, but they got some salmon and they get tuna and all kinds of meats. Mostly what I just mentioned, though. We get a lot of chicken and turkey.
Yeah, so I bet you get a lot of turkey there. And chicken, probably it's pretty, you're in a ranch area, so you probably can get a lot of that even from the local area. But when I first met you a couple of years ago, you had this old lab named Jaeger. Is that his name?
Jaeger, right.
Jaeger, yeah. And was he able to benefit from this change of diet before he finally left this earth?
You know, he did, really. At the time, we had three dogs, and we felt like he was, you know, getting close to the end. And this is about pushing on 3 years ago, and he was just really not getting up well. And so we got a German Shepherd, really beautiful. Most of our dogs are rescues, and
our latest
version is a purebred Rottweiler puppy named Eleanor. She's wonderful, but we got this big German Shepherd, a rescue from a local humane society, and his name was Kaiser, and he shed a lot. And this was the time that our friends Ken and Linda were going through this cancer thing with their dog, Dioji. So we got this third dog to sort of fill the gap for when our boy Jaeger was about to leave us, you know, we felt.
Yeah.
And one of the things we wanted to do was to reduce the shedding on Kaiser, the big German Shepherd, because he was a shedder.
Yeah.
And it really worked. Of course, we fed Jaeger all this good food, too. You know, figured, well, we might as well give him good food to the end. Well, started getting up and walking again and running with the dog.
And, that's funny.
Yeah, we were giving him olive oil. We're kind of busy, so we probably don't adhere to the exact specifications of your teachings. We were getting better at it, I'll tell you, as we learn more. But he was sort of an unintended consequence of our feeding of this German Shepherd to stop him from shedding. Because we felt, well, you know, we'll probably feed him okay. But then that was our epiphany, is when we saw Jaeger, you know, kind of get up and start chasing the deer with the dogs again. And we're like, whoa, what the heck was that? So we really started paying attention after that happened.
He probably thought, you know, this is great. Why would I want to leave now?
Exactly. We found out, too, you know, on his last meal, on his last day, was salmon, because that was his favorite. He loved salmon.
That's great. Well, he was a Labrador, you know. He liked that fish. Was he one of the big Labradors, or was he just like a medium size, or?
No, he was a really extra large one. He weighed about 112 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
He wasn't fat. He was really tall and long. That was one of his problems. He was kind of long, and he had some lower back problems from the length of his body. You know? Again, 3 years ago, we were sort of getting ready to have him move on, and he just went away from us 1 month ago. You know, so he lasted another 3 years. So it was incredible to see him stick in it with it, and we're absolutely convinced it was the way we fed him.
Well, that's the thing is, and look at the probably less pain, and the time that he spent was probably like sheer heaven for him. So, you know, I think that's terrific. God, that's just wonderful what you guys did.
Yeah, you know, like most of us, I think we were a little selfish and probably kept him around too long near the end there. Yeah. It's just so hard at the end to make that decision. But I think he had a really enjoyable life and a much richer life that we gave him through his food and, you know, and his new companionship. And he was a happy, happy boy on the day he died, even. You know,
that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, you know, Greg, we're going to take a short break. And when we return, please fill us in on the details of transitioning to a more natural diet for your dogs. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List. Reviews you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/best and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/best. B-E-S-T.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tarte, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio, and my guest today is Greg Luby. Greg's going to tell us how and why he and his wife Shelly changed their dog's food to a more natural diet. So Greg, as far as I know, neither you or Shelly are retired and sitting around eating bonbons all day. And you're a corporate pilot, and Shelly is a trauma nurse, and she also puts in her time as an Army nurse captain. How do you fit all of this in?
Well, it's not easy. I know for me, no other person could be married to me than my wife, Shelly. I'm on the road quite a bit.
Yeah.
She's very tolerant of my schedule and whatnot, and I'm so thankful for that. But it was difficult with this transition, mostly psychologically for us. You know, there was a lot of talk of this raw food diet, and I was a medevac, a medical evacuation pilot in the Army for 21 years. I was a helicopter pilot, a Black Hawk guy, and so I had a lot of medical training, and my wife, of course, is a nurse, and it just was the concept of the raw food thing was very difficult for us. So we started moving into the fresh food end of it with the meats and vegetables and whatnot, but we tended to cook it all. And that was our own personal bias, which I think you talk about in your book quite a bit. You know, it's just kind of hard to get the humans to understand, which we were one of. We were them.
Yeah.
And as time went on and, you know, we learned more and, you know, we get a more brave to where we started doing more just, you know, pure foods, pure beefs. I mean, it's hard to, you know, our dogs don't get like Kobe beef. We don't have a calf hanging out in a tree outside anywhere.
But, right.
You know, we try and buy them good foods, good meats as much as we can. Even if we don't, we know that buying meat from any source, relatively speaking, is better than, you know, scooping some dry dog food out of some bag somewhere. Well, you know, now we transition into the raw chicken, which is very difficult for me. But, you know, I'm just throwing them down a big chicken leg now. These are big dogs, so, you know, I can just hand them a chicken and they'll go eat it. And, you know, you can tell a difference, particularly Eleanor, our little girl. She's a year old now. She was born a year ago on Christmas Day. That's our Rottweiler puppy. And she's so sweet, and she's grown up on this now. So she's pretty much the food snob of the house. She won't eat hardly anything because she's seen, this is all she's seen. And the other dogs have seen, you know, every variation of food. Yeah, so I feel pretty confident. We do supplement now. You know, we use a little blue buffalo to help us get, you know, through a day sometimes and to help people who help us with our dogs. And Costco has a pretty good brand of natural food now that we've tried out a little bit and we've read about it. And it's, I can't remember the brand name, unfortunately. They have a salmon one, which our dogs don't seem to like very much for whatever reason, but they have a lamb and beef one that they like. And we don't use it very often, but, you know, we mixed in a little bit. It takes a little bit of work, but, you know, after a while, you see such a change in the dogs and their coats and their demeanor and how happy they are afterwards. And they self-regulate more, you know, when they eat.
I think that's a good point. Yeah. You know, particularly with big dogs like Labs, I have a lot of clients that have Labs that say, you know, they just constantly shovel the food into them. But I always tell them they will self-regulate. They always do. And they just can't believe it. But after a period of time, they get satiated. They get the right amount of nutrients. And then all of a sudden, it just levels off. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah, and we had to read about that after the fact. We thought, maybe, you know, something was wrong where they, you know, we had these big dogs and,
yeah,
you know, our German Shepherd was 124 pounds. And, you know, I mean, I clocked him next to my quad on my ranch going almost 35 miles an hour. So this is not a fat
wow.
dog, it's a big dog, big fat
yeah.
dog, and just a voracious eater. And then, you know, you can see them even fasting sometimes, not taking
yeah.
a second meal or not eating one day, and they're just as healthy as could be. And I read about that, them doing that too, and becoming more natural eaters.
Yeah, that is, my dogs do that too. I have two dogs that are 100 pounds each. They're a male and female, brother and sister, and they came from the shelter, but they're part Newfoundlands. And as big as they are, they really don't eat that much. People look at my dogs in the car, and then I have two other smaller dogs, but they always look at the dogs piled in the car, and they go, boy, I hate to have your food bill. And I always tell them, I think my food bill would be less than somebody who has two dogs and is feeding commercial dog food, you know, primarily because people are just at the mercy of whatever happens with the grain industry and the fuel prices and everything else. And so, you know, dogs are really good at that. And I don't think most people are raised to understand that. Really, dogs can't self-regulate. You could see it with coyotes. Coyotes don't eat on a daily basis. So there it is.
You know, we had another incident with we have another big Labrador kind of hound dog mix. And he, living on a ranch and farmland in a farming community, our neighbors grow thousands of acres of onions and garlic and alfalfas and whatnot, and one of our dogs got, his name is Harlow, he got into something, and it caused him to have a heart problem. We woke up in the middle of the night, and he was barely breathing, and we took him to the veterinarian, and the vet had him for like 5 hours. I was calling hour after hour, wondering how he was, and they're like, well, you know, he's hanging in there, and they had never called this cardiologist. They had, but they had never contacted and made contact, so I finally went to them and said, what is going on with our dog after 5 hours? And they said, well, basically, we're just waiting for him to die. Everything's out of whack. His liver enzymes, his heart rate's up. You know, he's just not going to make it. And so that was unacceptable to me. So I threw him in my car in Reno, Nevada, and I drove him to UC Davis Medical Center down near Sacramento.
Right.
It took me only about an hour and a half, but I got there in time. we spent the night there, and they were able to save him. All his numbers were off the chart when we brought him there. We broke every single record that UC Davis Medical Center had for whatever was going on with his liver enzymes. His everything was wrong, and they said that, you know, it's natural for that up there to wonder, to have thought he was just going to die any second. So they
yeah.
were able to reverse it. And I said, what could possibly, what's different about this dog? Because we don't know. He just doesn't, you know, everything. He has 6,000 times the number of products in his body that to kill him with whatever he just ate. You know, he ate something out of a field or something, some
yeah.
toxic thing covered.
Poison or something.
Or whatever. Right, some sort
yeah.
of poison. And they said, we don't know what the difference is. And I said, well, we feed him naturally. And, you know, of course, lots of vets don't agree with that. But they said that's the only difference we can see with this dog is what he's been eating.
Wow.
Could have saved his life, they don't know. But they didn't necessarily agree with the diet, but that was the only difference in our dog. And they had a dog that didn't survive such a thing, is our dog's still alive today. And
yeah.
that thing, I think, was because of his immune system was such that it rescued him.
Yeah, I think you're right. The dog will still go into a crisis. I've had two of my dogs here bitten by rattlesnakes, and, you know, they just come out of it naturally. You know, one was bitten in her paw and the other one was bit in the face. And, you know, I don't take them to the vet only because we do our own form of natural antibiotics here, which would be colloidal silver. And that's really what the vet would be doing. So, you know, they all come out of it smelling like a rose within about 4 or 5 days. So I've been told the same thing, that they just have a healthy immune system and the immune system kicks in and it looks like a crisis for a short period of time. And then all of a sudden they pull out of it.
Yeah, back to your point about the rattlesnake, Jaeger, our guy who's gone now, he also got bit by a rattlesnake, and he survived it without, we gave him some Benadryl.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, he survived it without any medical care
right.
the day. He got bit in the neck, too.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, that's, I think, where we are right now, as I say this a lot in my segments, is that I get calls like crazy and emails from a lot of people asking how they can save money. And so speaking of money, you know, because in the long run, you may be saving money on your cheaper commercial pet food, but in the long run, you're going to pay it on the other end, or the animal is. Did you guys find that your efforts were more or less expensive to make that change?
To be honest, we haven't really done a lot of thought in that area. We just decided we were going to switch. If I were to think about it, it's difficult because we grow our own cattle. And we have access to sides of beef. And so we'll have a side of beef in the refrigerator. And, you know, that when you do that, even when you go outside, you don't have to have your own cow in your backyard. You can go to a vendor and get a hind quarter of beef and buy it in bulk like that. And a freezer, and we bought a freezer for our garage that cost us about $150, and we did determine that buying our beef the way we did, and we actually bought a neighbor's cow and had it butchered, and we paid, you know, a butcher to cut and wrap it, and it ended up costing us about $2.10 a pound for the beef, and that's for a prime rib or for ground beef. You know, if you go to Costco right now, ground beef costs, I think it's like $3.50 a pound.
Yeah.
And, there's pure, you know, grass-fed beef from your neighbor for $2.10 a pound. Even if you add a dollar to that, it's still cheaper. And so, yeah, I think it's better than, you know, a lot of times we're eating the same thing.
Yeah, sure. And so why not?
That's, you know, exactly.
The other thing I've always recommended too is I know a lot of people that own restaurants, and it's really interesting if you have a friend or if you know anybody or you live close to a restaurant, you can always make good pals with the chef. And because I've watched these people all the time, and they cut the fat off of the meat that they get it in a box and they cut it off. And there's big chunks, probably about 2 inches of just meat in there that they're throwing in the garbage can. This always gets me. You know, if I ran a shelter, I'd be going to as many restaurants as I could and be, you know, give them, you know, a pan or two of something to keep in the freezer and then check that every week, because it is outrageous what we throw away in meat alone.
Well, it's a fact. There's a lot of avenues for obtaining foods like that from all types of places.
Yeah, people just have to start thinking outside of the old proverbial box. But, you know, we're going to take another break, Greg, and we'll continue with you and right after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart and save up to 30% on toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart today.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. You know, Greg, I was going to ask you also, you talked about supplementing with commercial food. Now, I don't find that to be really bad. One of the things I always talk about in my talks is that, you know, we have to be realistic here. And a lot of people, I guess, don't want to really be realistic about dying. But unfortunately, that's the way that we're all going to end up. But what I find a lot is I probably am going to be in trouble probably in the next 10 years because I must have 8 people that are leaving me their dogs. And they all, people call me up and go, Mickey, can I put you on the list for taking my dog if I die? And, you know, I just thinking, oh, yeah, that's great. But you really have to pay attention to that. If something happened to you and Shelly, who would be doing this stuff? You know, you'd have to be paying somebody a certain amount of money every day and leaving them a certain amount of money to be doing this, which is acceptable also to some people. But at the same time, I talk to a lot of people that are feeding their dogs just an entirely raw diet, and they forget that something might happen to them and who's going to be doing this, and that they really should make their dog's stomachs acquainted with commercial dog food. What do you think about that?
I think that's totally practical. We do that when we leave. Sometimes we leave them in a kennel. My wife drives 100 miles away for work in one direction when she goes.
Wow.
Although
yeah,
not as frequent, about 5 days a month. And we have various people in our neighborhood. Of course, our neighbors are, a mile and a half away. But when we leave them, she'll be gone for 12 hours and come back. And we'll leave them a bowl of dry food in case, you know, she gets in an accident or whatnot, so they can
right.
eat that food if she were gone. They have plenty of water, and, you know, they can come in, and they have a 1,400-square-foot garage that has beds inside and then a dog run outside. But they can come back and forth as long as, you know, we're covered. And, you know, you can't leave them a raw chicken sitting there on the floor. So we leave them that, like, blue buffalo. In a bowl, and if they're hungry enough, they'll eat it. Of course, lots of times when we come back, they haven't touched it because they're like, well, you know,
yeah,
where's my salmon? But they
yeah,
will.
That,
they'll eat it.
That's a problem. Yeah, when they get hungry enough, they would. And that is the thing that most people tell me is, well, now my dogs aren't even looking at the, you know, they're just turning their nose up to the commercial dog food. But, you know, that's okay because, you know, at least they're familiar with it. And I think that's the thing that we all have to do. Even my cats, I give them commercial dry food a few times a week. But primarily they're eating, they get first choice at my 4 dogs' food, and they jump on the counter and eat from the plate, and then it goes down to the dogs. But, you know, we have to really think about that because, and I've noticed how few people do not. And it's like you guys are taking care to make sure that if something does happen to you or Shelly, you know, in just one day, it could make a difference for those dogs.
Yeah, we do. We try and leave them 2 days worth of food, you know, because, my wife drives to Lake Tahoe in the winter. She could drive off the road and be stuck up there for 2 days before someone knew she was gone. I mean, obviously, I'd know, but, you know, I mean, I could be out of the country, which happens, and might not be
right.
in contact with her. So we make sure the dogs can survive for at least 2 days unattended, although we don't leave them for more than 12 hours, but you just never know. I'm a pilot. We have an airplane. You know, we could crash in the mountains, and then it might take people a day to even know that we were gone. So we make certain that they're cared for that way.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Can you give our listeners some ideas that you might have how they can move maybe slowly in the same direction you chose, and how do they start making a change?
Well, you know, I think what would be super easy to do is, you know, a lot of owners give their pets treats, and, you know, in the form of a dog bone. I keep bringing up Costco because we buy in bulk because we live so far away from everywhere. But, you
right.
know, people buy a box of milk bones or whatever. And
right.
all that is that nasty stuff the dogs aren't supposed to get. And they love them. It's like giving them gummy bears. I don't know what they put in there, but my wife tastes them. She says they don't taste very good. But so what we've supplemented with them, a way to start to seeing is buy a bag of chicken wings, and we even give them to them frozen. Our little girl Eleanor likes to eat ice out of my drink. So I just gave her a frozen chicken wing one day instead of a bone, and she gobbled that right down. And if it's too cold, just like eating ice cream, they'll stop eating them until their teeth don't hurt, and then they'll eat it some more. They gobble them down, and now we give them chicken wings instead of milk bones or anything like that. And that's a good way to transition. You can actually see, and that's a raw piece of chicken, but it's frozen. And they eat the bones and everything. As long as it's not cooked, they can eat the bones, and it gives them a lot of calcium and nutrients and whatnot. It's a really good treat for them. And then you can say, hey, that worked. And the next day, when you wake up, your dog will still be sitting there. It'll be alive, and it had a piece of raw chicken and the bones. So it actually worked.
Well, it is amazing to me that, you know, dogs are 1 to 2.5 pH balance in the acid area, and we humans are 7.5, so there's a big difference in our acid intake. And when I was in Ecuador, people use dogs to lick their wounds when they cut themselves. This is a common everyday event there, you know, so it just shows you what they have in their stomach. And for us to be giving them something that has a chemical base is really not very good at all. But that's a really good thing to do, like you said, is chicken wings.
Yeah, it is. It's expensive. The other thing we do is, you know, we have fresh eggs all the time. So we hard boil them instead of a bone. We give them a hard boiled egg, the shell and all. Just hand it to them, and they'll gobble the whole thing down. The shell is good for them, and then they get an egg. They love it. They just love it. And they play with it. You know, they'll play with it at first because it's a little ball, and as it cracks, then they smell inside. They're like, hey, something in there smells. And then they'll kind of dig in there a little bit, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, there's an egg in here, and they eat it.
Now, have you and Shelly changed your own personal eating habits since you've changed your pet's animal food?
You know, we have, because of what the quantity of food, we try and make quantities. There's wild rice and brown rice and these big pieces of fresh meat hanging around. So we tend to eat what the dogs eat. And, you know, we buy in bulk, you know, spinach and whatnot that we cut and put in the dog's food and broccoli. And so we end up eating the tail ends of that as well. It starts off with the dogs that, you know, eat just what they're eating, too.
Yeah.
But I would say, unfortunately, the dogs eat better than we do.
Well, they might be teaching you something, though. You know, you may change overnight. You know, that's always what, yeah, I see a lot of people tell me. They go, you know, it's changed my life. You know, after people have changed their way of doing things, it kind of becomes a natural thing to move in that direction for yourself personally. And I've seen a lot of that.
It certainly does. It just makes sense. You know, we always make the same old excuse that we're, you know, they were too busy to eat correctly. But you know, when you do, just do the simple test. You know, tomorrow morning, make yourself some bacon and eggs. Then after you wake up from your nap, remember how you felt. And then the next day, make yourself some, you know, some oatmeal or something, and then see what happens to you. It's a big difference. And that's how dogs feel too.
Yeah, that is. That's a very good point. And particularly, you have a Rottweiler. You know, Rottweilers many, many, many years ago were used as herding dogs, and their whole job was to disembowel a sheep right on the spot. And their main food was organ meat. And so specialized dogs like that develop all kinds of, seems to be more problems if you're just putting them on a strict commercial food diet. I have Sharpeys, and that's the same way. They are exactly the same thing. You can't do that. You really have to give them something that has a lot more enzymes in it on a daily basis. So I have one more question for you, and I'm wondering if you guys have joined the obnoxious pet chef club of asking everyone you see with a dog, what do you feed them? Because my husband, David, is always kicking me under the table and saying, it's none of your business, Mickey. Let it go. Do you find that you really want to tell people about this?
Well, actually, I've been looking in the mail every day for our royalty check from you, because my wife bought every book on the planet there was that you wrote, and she brought it to all her nurse girlfriends, and she has them trapped in the emergency room for 12 hours at a time. And so all of the nurses at the north end of Lake Tahoe converted over. And so there's all these, I was thinking of getting them little uniforms, you know, uniform or something.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a whole conversion going on behind your back up there in North
oh, good.
Tahoe in Nevada. That's been going on for a couple of years. And yeah, she's all over it. And on top of that, we had I hope you have time for this, but a kennel opened up near our home, a ranch, and we went out to talk to them to board the dogs in the event we have to leave unexpectedly. And we sat down with them and talked about feeding, and they're getting some books as well just to get educated. They were pretty skeptical, but they agreed to read about it a little bit. And so it's a really nice young couple, and they're going to look into it for their dogs too, but I'm going to let them read first.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to pace it slow, although that is not my usual approach. But a lot of people, you know, are better off just letting it simmer and let people try it out themselves. But anyway, Greg, you know, you've been great. It's fantastic hearing your story. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your really, truly busy schedule. You're not just like one of those people that always say, oh, I'm so busy. And to share your experience with us. And you and Shelley are really very unique, and I appreciate all that you're doing and all that you're discovering, and I hope you just keep discovering. I think that's the main reason we're all here, is just to discover and then go back to wherever we came from and report in or something. So thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate it.
Well, Nikki, you know, when I'm off this earth, all I want people to say is that I made a difference, and I want you to know that you made a difference in a lot of people's lives. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you, and we'll see you down the road. And Greg will have his contact information on this segment. Don't bug him too much because he's a busy guy, but you can email him, and if you have a few questions and want to find out how real busy people can still feed their dogs naturally, you can email him. So we're out of time, and I want to thank Mark for making this show possible with Pet Life Radio, and you can go to my website at smelllikeadog.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.